Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. A few months on the job. Been on the job since July. But it's a big job. Montana State University President Dr. Brock Tessman. You know, how's he taken to the job, right? And what's on his plate? There's a lot of things that, as a university president, you have to consider. Here at Montana State University, one thing that they'll focus on is something that Dr. Tessman did very well at his former institution, that's Northern Michigan, growing enrollment and boosting retention. We'll talk about that. Well, other things on the plate, too, always the research, advancing that, strengthening MSU's role as a land-grant university, and then navigating that big picture in education. There's some shifting going on here, funding concerns and mission changes, all part of the changing landscape. Today, timely conversation with Montana's newest education leader, MSU President Brock Tessman on Voices of Montana. Good morning, Dr. Tessman. How are you, sir?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me. It's a great day to be a Bobcat.
So, yeah.
Doing very well this morning. A little eerily warm here in Bozeman this morning. I think we got a shift coming, but we're enjoying this beautiful fall, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Chinooks are hitting us all across the state instead of those Highline people hogging that. And you would know that because you were a Highline person, huh?
Well, family history there for sure. Yeah. You know, up Toole County and... early 20th century homesteaders around what is Oilmont, Sunburst, Kevin, that area. Wow. And so certainly, you know, every family has kind of a genealogist. My aunt is you know, constantly reminding us of our Montana roots. My name, actually, Brock, is from Saskatchewan. So we've got family kind of across the border, too, just a history in this part of the country. So being back here in Montana definitely feels like a homecoming for me and also for Kristen and our girls, Francis and Leona.
Yeah, welcome home. And we're happy for you in that regard as well. Why don't you tell us who Dr. Brock Tessman is, and then, you know, how your wanderings that took you through Montana and then elsewhere and then back here, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I could tell you, you'll be ahead of me if you can figure out who I am. We're all that kind of life's journey, right? Just figuring out who we are.
But right, yeah.
You know, I guess what I would share, Tom, is that, you know, for me and really for my family, you know, our first stop in Montana was, I guess, 11 years or so ago now. I have been coming out here for a number of years, actually, to get out on the trails. I used to be a serious runner. I was a track athlete, kind of
college athlete. Yes.
Yeah. And ran a bit afterwards, but at any rate, my former teammates and I get together out in Three Forks every year. And we've been doing it. I think it is 12 years now. Wow. And, it's a 250 mile trail relay race through southwestern Montana. And, we come out every summer. It's absolutely a joy. And, you know, the first time I set foot out there at the start line and then we went through those 3 days of exploring Montana, I came back to Kristen and we were in Georgia at the time at the University of Georgia. I said, we're moving to Montana. And, I'm not sure that she took me so seriously in that moment, but, but, you know, certainly, took a little bit of time to figure out the right way to get here, but, so happy that our journey brought us to Montana. And last couple of years have been back in Michigan, and that's where I was actually born. I was born in Michigan and raised there.
Plymouth, as the right? President.
Plymouth. In the outskirts of Detroit. Mm-hmm. So a great place to grow up, you know, lots of woods, rural, not so much anymore, kind of like some of the areas west of Bozeman. You know, it used to look a little different than it does now, but but all good. Love that place, and certainly love being president at Northern Michigan for the last couple of years. Nothing but good things to say about that place. However, when my predecessor, Wadad Cruzado, announced her retirement, timing be damned, pardon my language.
Right.
You know, for our family, we knew that I would throw my hat in the ring. This is the thing that we always thought might be able to bring us back to Montana. And Tom, I'll share a quick story. And when we were leaving Montana in early 2023, to go to Michigan. Our family was quite sad. I mean, we were excited for the opportunity, but we loved living in Helena at the time, and the job was good, and family was very happy. And when we were leaving, we were pretty sad and broke it up. And so I remember sitting next to my wife as we were driving out of our home in Helena there and saying, you know, what could possibly ever bring us back to this place? And I remember both of us saying out loud, it would be MSU. It'd be the president of Montana State University. And lo and behold, that opportunity presented ourselves. And I just feel, presented itself. And I feel honored and privileged. I'm excited. I'm confident, all of the things, but just over the moon in terms of being able to lead what I think is one of the premier institutions in the entire country, really. I mean, it is Montana's premier institution. And I think really more and more on the national stage, people look to Montana State University for how to do the blocking and tackling the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And so excited to be here.
I appreciate those comments, too. And, you know, your credentials are well established, a bachelor's in international relations at Brown, a master's and a PhD, political science and international affairs, University of Colorado Boulder as well. Thank you again for landing here. I want to ask you first, you know, it's that whole vision question, but I think a lot of people, when they look to, you know, for an opportunity, they want to be challenged, or they're up for a challenge, so to speak. As you looked over, you know, this job, so to speak, what were those things that that were on a list that you said, I'm going to have to put some thought into this?
Well, that's a terrific question. I'll be really, you know, just straight with you and the audience. I feel a lot of pressure. I mean, mm-hmm. and let me just lay it out there. I mean, I am, you know, had the chance to lead an institution after truly a transformational president, Wadeg Crisado. She's a friend of mine. I was supposed to see her this past weekend. My flights, like many people across the country, were rearranged, so I missed her on the East Coast. But so tremendous respect and admiration for everything that Wadeg Crisado and really the team here did in order to get this institution rolling. And, you know, you can look at the presidency in a couple of ways. You could say, well, gosh, you're stepping into easy street, right? All the positive momentum with enrollment, budgets, research, campus infrastructure, and that is true. I mean, I won't diminish how amazing that is. It's a tremendous thing. But on a personal level, yeah, there's pressure involved. And so you asked me about my vision. The first thing that really needs to be established, I think, for me is to understand this is a different chapter for MSU.
Yeah.
We want to celebrate the tradition, celebrate the momentum, but our job is to make sure we don't rest on our laurels. You know, we haven't sort of reached the summit as an institution. And so I really want to make sure for, you know, each aspect of the university and each aspect of our land grant mission, we actually end up understanding we're just at the beginning of our climb, right? And the greatest months and years and decades are ahead for Montana State University. That's a lot of pressure. And now I'll tell you, I love that. You know, you said that we all seek out inspiration and challenge. That's how I'm hardwired. And so that was one of the major points of attraction in this job, is it is not obvious exactly how we're going to take our next steps. And I find that to be inspiring, absolutely challenging, and it's energizing. Tom, the thing that makes, I think, Montana State University most special is that we can really boil our mission down. And we can look at it through the land-grant lens. Really what that is service to our students and service to the state. We never forget that as a land grant. And what do I mean by service to our students? We've got to stay open access. As long as I'm president of this university, it will remain open to any learner, any Montanan, and frankly, any student from out of state as well. But any student who wants to come and have a chance at success is going to have opportunity in MSU. And that's increasingly rare. A lot of institutions like us have chosen to become more and more selective, right? They kind of cherry pick who they let in the door. That'll never be MSU. That runs counter to our land grant mission. However, right, if you're going to do that, okay, the worst thing we can do is invite students onto our campus, into our programs, and then not give them a real opportunity to earn success. And so more than the raw enrollment number and the growing numbers, I really look at student success. And that's my background. And there are kind of three pieces to that. One, we want to look at retention and persistence, how students who choose MSU are electing to stay at MSU year over year. The second piece is, look, our goal, which is graduation, right? Getting students to that commencement stage, having them earn the degree that they're seeking, whether it's a two-year degree, a four-year degree, or a graduate degree. And then the third piece that we talk about, but I do think is part of my vision for MSU, is to make sure that we treat career outcomes, in particular a successful career launch, as an equal part of that student success. Because our job is certainly, to elevate students and support them while they're here on our campus, but the whole point a student takes a chance on us is because they believe there's going to be a payoff, not just during their time as a Bobcat here on campus, but as a Bobcat for life, right? How are they going to do in their first job, their third job, their fifth job, no matter whether it's ag or whether it's technology or tourism or outdoor rec? And so I think that student success model, where our doors get wider and wider, we're inviting more and more students in, but the outcomes that we produce look more and more like a highly selective elite institution. That is the kind of, North Star that we have in terms of service to our students. And if you let me just quickly address the second one, it'll be pretty brief, but service to the state. It's easy to say, hey, the state is our campus, we have statewide reach, and I think that's true, actually, for multiple institutions in the state of Montana. It's true for a lot of universities across the country. There is nothing like MSU, and whether it's through our extension offices in every single county across the state, our ag experiment stations, or our partnership with organizations like FFA. Tom, last night I spoke to the FFA is having their ag expo, yep, statewide ag expo, yep, on campus. So it's like 2,000 plus.
Isn't it awesome? It's an awesome gathering, isn't it?
I didn't know exactly what to expect. I mean, that's the crazy thing about being a first year president is like everything is new. And I walked into the ballrooms there, packed to the gills, mm-hmm, with just the blue and gold jackets, also, which I love. Not surprisingly, but the blue and gold jackets. And I was so impressed by those students. And in my point in bringing that up is that, the state is our campus, and students are students at MSU even before they enroll here. We have so many programs through 4-H, youth development, FFA, our partnerships with schools across Montana, and then in the communities across the state. I mean, what other campus could say, we've got a team of people in every single county across the state of Montana that wake up every single morning wondering, what does my community need and how can I meet that need? And I just think it's a magical thing about the land grant. Our challenge is to say, look, we have surreal complex puzzles to solve in terms of community vitality and vibrancy across the state, the kind of balance between, development in places like Circle or Two Dot or Plentywood, and then development in places like Bozeman, or Billings for that matter, or Missoula or Great Falls. And so what we've got to find a way to do as the state's land grant is to make sure that we kind of start with a blank slate and say, how can we redesign our statewide campus so that we're making the most out of every community's opportunity to thrive? It's not hard in Bozeman to find a crane or a new buildings going up. And that's terrific. I think that's a wonderful thing for this area. What we need to do is find a way to support every community's vision of their own vitality. And for a lot of communities, as you'll know, even better than I, it's not more cranes or buildings, mm-hmm, right? It's building on tradition and maintaining values. And we've got to find even better ways of doing that. And we have partners across the state who are terrific, including, of course, our affiliate campuses in Billings and in Great Falls and Havre. So we're well-equipped, but that's going to be part of the vision as well.
Well, you ask AI a question and about the average federal student loan debt. It doesn't take it long to come up with figures here as well, and I think we know that. We'll be talking about that as we have Dr. Brock Tessman, Montana State University president, with us here today. But Average federal student loan debt for a borrower in 2025 exceeded $39,000. And kids are coming out in 2024 with between $20,000 and $25,000. That's a medium price there as well. And Dr. Testman, thanks again for being here. I know we're going to I want to address that. That's probably a bigger topic because it's a part of the big picture about education overall. But you talk about open access, any student, and then the opportunity for success when they get through the doors here. One of the things that I'm going to go back on here is this different chapter that and I so much appreciated seeing that too, and it kind of sparked something in my mind, just that, wow, that makes a lot of sense, because then I looked at the changing landscape of education demographically as well, and it just made a lot of sense. What does that look like when you say boil the mission down? I suppose that means, you know, stay within yourselves or really just stay, you know who you are.
Yeah, I think in knowing who you are, right, and what your fundamental mission is about, Tom, that's definitely been part of Montana State University's success over the last 10 to 15 years. And, you know, I think as I do talk about a new chapter, again, just can't underscore enough, it comes with all the respect in the world for what has put MSU in the position it's in today.
Sure.
So it's not about rejecting, you know, all of the successes of the past 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
It's really about, you know, recognizing a couple things. One is that, you know, organizations need new vision, need new energy and different perspectives every once in a while. Montana State University has been very lucky over the years to have fairly extended tenures for their presidents, and I think that's paid dividends. But after a certain period of time, it's healthy to turn the page, even when it comes down to kind of the culture on campus. And so that's part of the new chapter. The other part of the new chapter is what you said. I mean, for all the success that we've had at MSU, the headwinds are increasing. You know, there are the known headwinds. You know, to quote Donald Rumsfeld, there are the known unknowns, the things that we know are coming up, demographics, budgets, and then we got to be ready for the things we don't even know about yet that are coming. And so in order to be ready for a storm, you got to kind of buckle down and focus on, again, what is it that we do? We provide a high quality, open access education that prepares students academically and professionally. We produce research and innovation that makes a difference in the everyday lives of Montanans and Montana communities. And then we are second to none when it comes to statewide engagement, making our communities better places to live, no matter what corner of the state you're in. And if we focus on those things and get caught up a little less, you know, in some of the shiny things that can distract an organization in terms of resources and attention, and can sometimes get organizations into a bit of hot water, then we'll be much better off in the long run. In the short term, sometimes it feels like it could be, you know, you could be missing out on something, or you really should weigh into something, or you should be launching this new program or starting this new center, making a statement about this or that. And I think Montana State University has done a good job and will continue to do a good job of sticking to the fundamentals, the blocking and tackling, since we've got a football game tomorrow night and another one next Saturday. I'll use that term intentionally. It's increasingly rare to find an institution that has the discipline to do that, and I'm really committed to maintaining and actually building on that discipline. That's the recipe for success. I'll also tell you, it saves Montana and Montana taxpayers money.
I want to peel into this too, and thank you for that. One of those things is, one of your focuses at previously at Northern Michigan was enrollment and student success, and you had 78% retention reported there. I mean, that's a remarkable number, really. I'm going to try to have you fold that into what you said earlier, and it kind of talks about, you know, also it's this bridge here, treat career outcomes equally, meaning preparing students not just for one career, you said it, maybe up to five careers. I think that overall is an appropriate focus, but how do you accomplish that focus?
Yeah. Well, you know, one, the first thing I'll tell you is that, you know, success it can't be just measured in terms of what you're earning every year, but that is just undeniably the first measure that our students look at, we look at, I think that most people will recognize. That said, you know, we take so much pride in, you know, producing first-class teachers across the state of Montana. You know, many folks in the field of agriculture, I mean, ranchers, farmers will understand that, you know, in terms of earnings, you can't really measure success always that way. So we don't solely focus on that, but what we want to do is provide our graduates with an opportunity to live the life that they envision for themselves and their families. And, you know, part of that, a huge part of that is on the side of technical skills, you know, the kind of substantial knowledge that you need to succeed as, you know, a civil engineer, as a biologist, as a teacher or a nurse. The other piece of it, and Tom, I don't know why we ran away from this part of the value of college, but I think I don't run away from it. It's so important. You got to learn to live in a community and to negotiate all the way down to maybe your roommate, your first year in college. I didn't really get along all that great with my roommate my first year in college. We had different schedules, you know, kind of different ideas of what it meant to be neat and clean around the room. You got to negotiate, compromise, agree to disagree, and you got to be able to have difficult conversations. You got to learn to understand when something being fed to you, you know, on the mall here or on the media is a bunch of baloney or whether it's based on fact. Those things are really important part of the college experience as well. And so when I talk about preparing graduates for success at Montana State University, yeah, you know, it starts absolutely with getting ready for that job, that first job, because that's what you need to get up and running. And then it's also about, well, behind that first job, what are all the kind of essential skills that we know help people climb the ladder? And climb the ladder could be, you know, inheriting and sustaining the family ranch. It could be climbing the corporate ladder. It could be helping to, you know, teach kids in rural Montana. But those skills are not just about the, you know, crossing T's and dotting I's, the details in your major. It's about what it means to be, you know, a full, well-adjusted, you know, highly productive and engaged human being. And I take a lot of pride in how MSU really focuses on that as well. That's part of the value of college education. If you've been at, you know, you've been anywhere in public, at a restaurant, if you've been, at a Bobcats game, you've been out and about, you know, and you look around, there is a noticeable challenge in terms of the kind of way in which people are interacting with each other these days. And what I want to do is make Montana State University part of the solution. Let's turn the corner again and get us talking to each other.
The Grizz have Portland State. That could be a trap game for them, too, although the Vikings have not put together a lot of wins this year. The Cats are at home, and this is a nationally televised game Saturday night. I think it starts at 8:30 our time, and that it's going to be rocking. Montana State University President Dr. Brock Tessman will probably have a hand in getting that stadium going. They're against UC Davis, and that's top 10 team. So we got a top 10 matchup there before Grizz Cat next week. And Brock, I appreciate you know, getting that out. It's obviously you know, very hyped kind of time of year as well. It's one of the things I wanted to put on my plate. Let's just talk about it now. Athletics and academics. You have sort of an understanding about how they go together, being you know, previous college athlete as well as in academia. How do they go together?
Yeah. Well, I mean, absolutely, they match up so hand in glove. And for the student athletes, you know, I hope people know this. I mean, the GPA, the graduation rates, the postgraduate success of our student athletes, it's tremendous. It actually outstrips kind of the overall student body at MSU. So we have role models out there for our campus and our community. You know, Tom, I think athletics is all about stretching our sense of what's possible. You know, whether it's a miracle play or a championship run, whatever it is, it's true for the teams, right? And it's a magical thing to be part of a team and to achieve something big after a lot of hard work, doing it together with people that you love and respect. But even for a student who's here, they're not gonna play, you know, an NCAA sport or a club sport, but they're here and they're studying chemistry or physics. when they see a group of individuals come together as Bobcats and achieve something that no one thought they could achieve, I think that that shows that student or that faculty or staff member, for that matter, mm-hmm. like, look, we can also stretch our sense of what's possible in our studies and our service to the campus or the community. So it's kind of eyes on the horizon moment where athletics says, you know what, I'm going to get up and work hard today. And, you know, in my own way, whether it's in the lab or it's on the field, you know, victory is there. And so I'm a big believer in college athletics. It's obviously changing a lot right now. But so proud of our student athletes. I've gotten to know so many of them. We have dinner with the teams pretty regularly. And a lot going on right now. You mentioned a game. I think you may have mislabeled the game. I think you may have called it the Grizz-Cat game. I'm not sure what that game is. But we do have Cat-Grizz next Saturday.
You're the president. I'll let you get by with that, president.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. 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 Here's my thought on that. Whoever wins the game, the next year they get to be the first in line. Okay. So it's Cat Grizz or Grizz Cat, depending on who won that year.
Right. I think that, you know, I could understand for someone. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a fair rationale. It'll always be Cat Grizz to me, but I get it, Tom. I think you're right on that one. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that mix blood. I'm amongst them too, as a matter of fact. But that's so much fun though, too. I mean, you know, this is why education is so valuable to us too, because we find so much, and we're kind of getting back to this culture thing, but you know, you just can't escape it. And athletics is that opportunity to put your best foot forward when it comes to culture.
Yeah, I think so. And it does show, again, how we can all come together around, you know, a common event. And, you know, you sit in Bobcat Stadium on a Saturday afternoon, or in this case, it'll be Saturday night. Yep. And you can't help but feel like this is... It's a statewide event. You know, it's one of the largest cities in Montana when we have a home game. And I love that. I think it's a healthy part of society. Competition is a good thing. Camaraderie is a good thing. And, you know, I tell my daughters, 10 years old and 8 years old, they have a hard time with losses, right? I mean, they struggle against that SDSU game early in the season. They struggled. Hey, Dad struggled a little bit with that one, too, to be honest. But, you know, I said part of the lesson from athletics is picking yourself up off the ground. You know, you dust yourself off, you figure out what you need to do to get better, and you come back and you do it again. And I think that's a good lesson, certainly for campus, but also for the state. I mean, for communities across our state, there's a lesson there as well. So a lot of pride in Bobcat Athletics. You know, absolutely embrace that as a central part of what we do in terms of, again, service to our students and service to our state. It is part and parcel of the land grant mission.
And my thanks to all those who keep that focus. I mean, that GPA doesn't happen unless the coach is on board, the assistant coach is on board, whoever is doing the towels is on board. Yeah. For things like that. I wanted to note this, okay? You're kind of come in on a high note, buying high, so to speak. Record enrollment topping 17,000 students for the first time, and also a record amount of research in $257 million in 2024. You talked about the pressure of the job. There's going to be some pressure on that. You know, what is the job when it comes to research? And then we'll get to enrollment retainment.
Yeah. Well, on the research side, you know, and actually our most recent year's numbers, $288 million.
Oh, nice.
And so, good. You know, you think about that, it's kind of mind-blowing, especially if you look at the trajectory we're on. We'll see what happens, but I expect us to move north of that, north of maybe even $300 million, even in spite of some uncertainty kind of at the federal level. Research, you know, all kinds of research matter, from theoretical kind of basic research. That sort of paves the way for breakthroughs that are more applied. I love the fact that as a land grant, you know, most of our research is research that, you know, someone like you or someone like me can understand it and kind of grasp the impact from, and whether it's in agriculture. You know, I had a chance, I was up at the Northern Ag Research Center in Havre at the end of the summer, and, you know, we're using our kind of optics, our sensors, to reduce the cost of inputs for producers up there, they can actually scan the field. So, you know, you're moving across the field applying, you know, pesticide, for example. They can do a detailed scan, use AI and to sort out what is a weed and what's not, and then do this pinpoint accuracy application of the pesticide so that you're not wasting inputs, you know, costly inputs. It's also better because you're not putting more pesticide into the field and into our food supply. And it's all technological breakthroughs from research at Montana State University. I think, how awesome is that? You know, and multiply that by, you know, 288 million, and that's the research impact across the state. Tom, the fastest growing area is in security and defense, you know, and that's security and defense for Montanans and for Americans. And I think we live in an uncertain world. We have a tremendously important set of facilities here on our campus that's classified research in ways that are making America much safer and making Montanans safer. That's going to continue to grow as well. So my point is, the research isn't just basic in kind of principled research. It's research that translates into things that people can see around them every day. I love that as part of the land grant mission.
And you're in that community. It's becoming a very high tech community as well. Do you see that filtering into your institution and vice versa?
I do, absolutely. And you know, we have of course in some existing colleges like our College of Engineering, you know, tremendous connections to the high tech industry in the Gallatin Valley. I mean, photonics, optics, physics is connected to that. Our School of Computing, which by the way is going to be moving into a brand new building, Gianforte Hall, that is going to offer all new types of opportunities for us to connect with business and industry. We are leaning heavily into the economic development of the Gallatin Valley, the same way we lean heavily into some of the fundamental economic sectors across the state, like ag in particular. And so I love what's happening here in Bozeman. Certainly don't want to limit us to that, but a lot of the research and academic programming on campus connects to that. We're starting a new photonics and optics kind of concentration here on campus. We're also starting a new precision ag minor. So we're kind of doing it all. I mean, that is leaning into what's happening across the state and making sure we stay connected. You know, we're not an island here, and that's really important for me to emphasize.
Montana State University President Dr. Brock Tessman with us here. It's the lightning round, so to speak. Got a few minutes left here. And Dr. Tessman, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate you spending the time here for us to get to know you. And I've really valued the conversation as well. You've mentioned your family, and I just want to have you, you know, give kudos and a shout out to them. How are they taking it coming back to Montana? I don't suppose it was too bad, huh?
No. Thanks, Tom. First of all, thanks for this time. I mean, it's been a great conversation, and so let's do it again soon if that works for you.
Thank you.
For our whole family, I mean, coming back to Montana, it is a dream. You know, everybody was a little bit broken up to be leaving, and so we're excited. I again, in the spirit of candor, move-in's a big deal, and we've got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. A lot of this, I mean, more than a lot, falls and fell on my wife, Kristen, who is, you know, she's a hero, certainly for our family. She's the CEO of our family, no doubt. But she's also a real accomplished professional in her own right. And so, you know, being a kind of, you know, there's not a better term for it, a trailing spouse is difficult. And she's just weathered that storm, gotten us set up here in Bozeman. The girls love their school, tremendous schools in Montana. So proud of that, the way the state supports public education. And they're just loving it. They got their friends. Bozeman's a fantastic place for a young family. And, we're getting to spend some decent time together. Dad's a little busy, but we focus on quality time. Got a trampoline set up in the backyard. And I'll tell you, getting older, it's harder and harder for me to keep up with the girls on that thing. But we're having a blast, that's for sure.
If you see Dr. Tessman in a cast or a sling, you'll know what happened.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, 17,000 record enrollment. How do you retain that? What are the keys to, attracting students but also keeping them there?
Yeah, and I want us to keep growing enrollment, not recklessly, but growth is important, again, because of mindset. It shows us that, again, you know, anything is possible. The best is yet to come. That number, I'm incredibly proud of that number. It's a record high. We educate more Montanans than any other institution in the state, you know, by a good stretch. More Montanans from rural communities, more lower income Montanans, first gen Montanans. That starts and stops with that. But for Montana students or our non-resident students, we do them no favors if we bring them in and then they don't finish. So the bigger number for us was that retention number, 81.8%, another record high. Our four-year graduation rate is at a record high, and that's the thing that we're going to stay focused on, not just the numbers coming in the door, but getting students to the finish line. And so a lot of that's about quality academic advising, making sure we're getting students early on, a sense of purpose. What am I studying? Why am I studying it? What am I getting out of my education? And a sense of belonging. You know, they're comfortable speaking their mind here. They found the thing that they're passionate about, not just inside the classroom, but outside the classroom. That's really important, too. And the advising culture, the student support culture on campus is a huge part of that. And I think there's opportunity for us to grow even more. I would like for us to be the premier institution in the entire country when it comes to being open access. Like, we'll admit anyone, but also achieving high-level outcomes in terms of retention and graduation rates. It's on the horizon. We got a little ways to go, but I think we can do it.
If you can do this one in like 30 seconds or 45 seconds, yeah. It's just an impression. What's an encouraging trend that you see among students today?
Well, I think more and more of them are focused on, you know, not just seeking out like-minded students on campus, and they're interested in exploring. It could be a new kind of class. It could be attending a new event. But I think our students are showing up and engaging on campus in a way that they haven't since at least before the pandemic. And I know it's a short answer. A lot changed during that pandemic era, and I think we're still bouncing back in some respects. But I think our level of student activity and engagement on campus is also at an all-time high. We got to keep that rolling. It's part of the value of a college experience.
What do you think education looks like in 2030 or 2035?
Well, you know what? I think we got to keep innovating and, again, focusing on the fundamentals. Our success is not the result of a lucky break or magic. It's because we focus on high-quality education, we deliver it at the lowest cost possible to students and families, and we focus on setting up students for success after they graduate. The other part of it, Tom, just to conclude, is that statewide impact, whether it's through research, our MSU extension, or a lot of our ag experiment stations, you will see us out and about around the state even more than we have been in the past.
I was just going to say that. You will see him out and about around the state, and welcome him back home. Dr. Brock Testman from Montana State University. Thank you, Brock. I appreciate that. Good luck this weekend. I can say go Thanks, Cats, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, go Cats, go.
Yeah, all right. Take care.
Yeah, bye now.
See ya. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.